is protected under the Vienna Convention. That's the convention that, in fact, protects me in this embassy. It surrounds diplomatic territory, and presidential jets are listed as diplomatic territory. So you had a violation, enormous violation, of the Vienna Convention in Vienna. Now, this really sealed Edward Snowden's successful asylum application when eventually it became clear it was too dangerous to take any other option in Russia. Because what could be the Russian response to this downing of President Evo Morales' flight? The only response that they could give to seem like a credible country is that if Snowden asked for asylum, then they would accept the asylum request, and that's what ended up happening. So this incredible diplomatic own goal led to this bullying of Western Europe, which provided the ultimate proof that Edward Snowden was being politically persecuted, which is what ended up giving him asylum.
Julian Assange speaking via video stream during an event last week in Brooklyn, New York, for the launch of his book, The WikiLeaks Files. He spoke from the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he's been holed up for over 3 years, where he received political asylum. Special thanks to Catherine Lederberg, director of Andean Information Network, and Coach Obamba, and Nick Wing, the reporter for The Huffington Post. We will link to his new story just out called Operation Naked King, U.S. secretly targeted Bolivia's Evo Morales in drug sting. And that does it for today's broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Nirmin Sheikh, Sam Malkoff, Robbie Karen, Steve Martinez. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is Randy Ferguson, inviting you into a place where lovers quarrel and music's happening. The Velvet Room. The Velvet Room. The Velvet Room. Featuring nothing but good film music that puts you in the mood. Relationship conversations that makes you think about love. So tune in every other Monday nights from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. and rock out to the best R&B show in Long Island. Enter the room if you dare. Into the Velvet Room. The Velvet Room. The Velvet Room.
The time is 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's now time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Good evening, and this is Off the Wall. I'm Kyle, and tonight I'm joined by Emmanuel, of course.
Hello.
Can you say hello once more for everyone?
Hello once more for everyone.
I think I need to get you on both channels. Can you say it a third time to everyone? Everyone.
One day I'd like to work for a real radio station where we don't have to do this every time we turn on a microphone. How's that? That's just my standard test statement.
Okay. No, you sound testy. That's definitely...
Do I sound testy? Good.
Punchy, even.
Then I guess the test is a success.
Yes. Right. Okay, so here we are.
I'm sorry. It's been a rocky week. I can't even say that. Rocky week. Yeah. It has been.
Ever so rocky.
It's Tuesday. As Tuesday, I've already hit a bunch of rocks.
Yeah. Huh. Well, and that's our aim, is to navigate those rocks. Speaking of rocks, there's this one in particular that was in the news this week.
Okay, no, I'm talking. Just navigate away from my rocks and talk about something completely different. That's fine with me. There's a rock in the news. By all means, let's focus on that.
Let me just take a sip of.
Yeah, please. Let's do that.
Of liquid water.
Uh huh. Liquid water.
It's flowing.
Yeah, like water's going to be in the news.
No, actually,
Kyle, I wonder, you know. Okay, you know what? Let's talk about rocks. Let's talk about water. This is going to be a really interesting show, isn't it?
I'll drink some more liquid water. Yeah, it came out this week. NASA was incredibly excited that there's flowing water. Yeah, we can see like tides and movement.
NASA
flowing.
County?
Flowing. No, not.
I wouldn't drink
yeah.
that. No, seriously. Well, no. Water is good in Suffolk, not NASA.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so thirsty. Oh.
You know, I've never seen you drink like this. You're drinking like a fish, even though fish don't really drink.
No, I'm telling you. NASA said this week that there is flowing water on Mars, and this has a lot of implications for life on Mars.
Wait, that was real? I thought I dreamed that. So they actually found evidence of water now on Mars.
Right. It was long suspected. And now there's confirmation. We have images. I believe Rosetta is a particular spacecraft that has been tracking this planet for a while. There's a lot of robotic devices and equipment sensing, and so on. Of course, we had the flyby, recently. So, tremendous amount of processing of all that information and well, we have this excitement this week that there is detectable water, and from what I understand, it's briny. It's salt water, but water nonetheless.
Well, nothing can really live in salt water, right?
That's right. And so,
Sorry, strike that. Everything can live in salt water.
Yeah, that's actually really helpful for life. Salt water is.
My God, what does this mean then? There could be life on Mars right now. It took us this long to find out?
Substantial life, even.
Like, substantial life as in could be a threat to our regime here?
Like, they could
be coming over to see if there's life on this planet?
Well, it's yet to be determined how advanced and how angry this life is that we've poked and prodded our way to this discovery, but certainly they'll have something to say.
Well, we keep landing these weird objects on their planet, so they might be a little perturbed.
I would be too, if strange balloons and landing rockets and rays and lasers were digging and poking about. But that is what we've done, and this information, this news is what we've gotten out of that.
And this, I still sort of suspect, I'm down to about 60% suspicion now, that this is all just hype for that Mars movie that's coming out.
Well, it's funny you should mention that. There is a movie coinciding with this announcement, and I've heard there's a lot of history with NASA and PR, and so it's not shocking that there is a movie coming out, and these milestones are a part of that conversation, I guess, in popular culture.
Yes.
So that's a necessary part of educating and exciting the populace. And dare I say, I'm excited. You're excited, I'm sure.
I'm bouncing up and down, as you can tell.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to do something for the proposed missions to the planet, because now there's actual possibility of doing things once you're there that could result in you leaving again.
Yeah, and it seems to me that it's not locked in the rock or under the rock, mm-hmm. or in gobs of soil.
No, it could be flowing like right now.
It's like on the surface. Think of, I guess, briny swampiness. Maybe not so much a swamp, but I guess, I don't know, you have to color it with your own imagination. What would that be like? Mm-hmm. What is that? But the interesting thing, the brine, the saltiness was detected from characteristic drying. So like white patches, mm-hmm. I believe. I think. Like you'd get in a salt.
I heard it was dark patches. Like
was it dark patches?
Pour water on sand.
Okay.
And sand is dark after the water goes away. That's what they're seeing now.
Okay, so that's what it was. It was some evidence of the way it was ebbing and flowing, and then what it would do to the area that it had been in, mm-hmm. When it supposedly dries or leaves the area.
But considering that this is the planet right next to us, and that we're already looking at weirdness on asteroids and moons of giant planets and all kinds of other possibilities for something existing just in this one solar system, when you look at all the other solar systems out there, all the other stars that have planets around them, something that's fairly new to our knowledge base, yeah, there's all kinds of life out there. There's all kinds of life. We just have yet to see a single example of it, but I can hardly wait till that day. I think that day could come soon.
Yeah. It really gives a lot of credence to the work that's been done, I mm-hmm. guess. A lot of substantiates a lot of people's life's work, and it will probably consume young people and
in a good way,
and scientists and people that are just starting out with their own life's work,
yes.
as well. So more power
get sucked
to
into the Martian sand or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, hopefully too. For good.
Yeah,
and for all of humanity, it will further our persistence and curiosity. So more power to everyone there, and that is exciting news. Something that happened this week.
And speaking of the red planet, did
sure.
you see the blood red moon?
That was also noteworthy. I did. I was commuting at the time, and I could not stop and actually take it in. I did see the beginning of it and the end of it, though, while stopped. And it was really, really gorgeous. I think there was a little bit of light pollution from my vantage, but I'm sure other people were able to get a clear shot and maybe capture it or otherwise take it in.
Yeah, they say this was a particularly rare one because it was a supermoon. You know, not many people can really tell the difference between a supermoon and a regular moon.
Mm-hmm.
Yet a supermoon is closer to us than normal, so it appears a little bigger, but it really doesn't appear that much bigger. So there will be other eclipses. If you miss this one, don't fret. They always say this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and I've heard that about 20 times now. So there's always going to be something that happens in the skies, and we'll be around to see it in one form or another. Solar eclipses, lunar eclipses, comets, shooting stars, you name it, and maybe even life now on another planet. That's what's up there, all kinds of amazing things. It's always fun to just theorize and watch.
Indeed, yeah, and maybe some of our lives will be exploring there as well in the future.
So I see what you mean now by rocks and water, and yes, I stand corrected. That was rather interesting.
It was. It was a development that I'm sure a lot of people were wowed by.
But my rocks,
sure.
which still take up most of my horizon,
uh-huh.
has to do with health insurance yet again.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
You know,
it comes.
I've complained on this show many times about the high cost of health care, about how health care doesn't cover the things that you need it to cover.
Let me guess.
Confusing bureaucracy. Go ahead. Guess.
They are raising the deductible. That's what it is.
Well, yeah. They probably are. I know they got an okay to raise the rates 20% next year. 20%. You know, it's just insane because you have a high deductible, you have a high premium, then you have a copay, and you got that coinsurance thing, whatever that is. I haven't even got to that stage yet because I haven't gotten to the stage where they cover anything. I discovered through you that it's cheaper to go to Canada, get injured there, pay cash, and then come back here. It really is cheaper to do it that way because here they just don't cover anything and you keep paying them. I've had my insurance canceled in the past. I've had it canceled through deceptive means where they don't tell you, by the way, we raised your rate and didn't make it that clear, so you weren't paying enough, and we didn't tell you that we were going to cancel it because on the back of every bill, we say we're going to cancel your statement if you don't send us the exact amount. And surprise, we canceled you last month and there's nothing you can do about it. I had that happen. I had them cancel me after the open enrollment period. So I was ineligible for a year and I actually had to pay a penalty for not having insurance when I wanted insurance. I've had all that happen. But I never had this happen where I had insurance. I was paying my premiums and the insurance company went out of business. That's right. The insurance company decided that they couldn't do this anymore, and they're just closing up shop. Still have to pay the premium. Still have to pay the premium to the end of the year, but after that, they're not going to be around anymore. And guess what? I have to go back to the drawing board and do this all over again and find another company and probably pay through the nose for nothing yet again. It's really frustrating. What really gets me, though, here I am, sitting here, State University of New York at Stony Brook, all right? Signing on to the New York State Health, what is it called? Health Registry? What do they call that? Marketplace?
Exchange, I believe.
That's it. The Health Exchange. Yeah. New York State Health Exchange. Would you believe not a single one of the 16 companies on the New York State Health Exchange is accepted here at the New York State University at Stony Brook? Not one. Isn't that something? How is that even legal or allowed in any sense that they don't accept it? You have to get some other private expensive insurance for them to even start covering you at a state university.
Yeah,
it's just madness.
There seem to be huge gaps. There's no overlap in some of these plans. Not even if you buy perhaps the most expensive offering from the marketplace that mm-hmm. you're eligible for, whatever your details are as an insured individual. I really have found, even if I've looked at them, you know, you compare, they do the price comparisons mm-hmm. and so on. None of them are really that helpful when it comes down to practical things and actually paying for the kinds of costs you're going to run into. It's none of it's really a great option. No. At least on the exchange side, I'm looking forward to checking new stuff out this fall, because I know the exchange enrollment period starts, and I'm going to take a real keen look at any kind of changes there, but I'm not too optimistic, I have to say.
There need to be some serious changes. I'm not saying that Obamacare was a bad idea. I'm saying it didn't go far enough, and
right.
We're not being aggressive enough pushing it to go where it should be going. Because right now, my options for next year will be to pay even more for insurance. Let's say I have to pay $600 a month for insurance. Okay, that's something like over $7,000 a year, just in premiums. And then on top of that, to have a $2,000 or $3,000 deductible, we're up to about $10,000, and it's not even covered. They don't even cover anything. And it just keeps getting worse from there. Whereas countries like Canada or places like Europe, you're simply covered. You know, you pay taxes. That takes care of your health insurance. You walk in with an injury or you go to get a checkup and it's covered because you've already paid for it. The thing is, we already pay taxes too. We pay as much in the way of taxes as those countries, but we just don't get these benefits because we live with a bunch of idiots who seem to think that it's our place in the world to basically control everything and suck everything out of our own infrastructure in doing so. It's just depressing and sad.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think talking about it and looking at these for what they are, which is, you know, opting in, paying for something that looks or at least is symbolic of a type of coverage, but really is a scam, kind of, mostly. I mean, I think you really, I would be hard pressed. I mean, what I'm looking at is, getting, you know, doctor's permission to bring in, you know, things that you need, that you regularly need as a preferred service and so on. And also the places where my primary care physician, I believe they're changing around, and some of the insurance is not going to be available anymore through one provider or the other. They do this. They switch things around. They say, okay, well, we used to work very closely with them. We're going to switch, and that is actually going to be something you have to go over to. So then you end up having to choose between your general practitioner, your doctor you've maybe had for a while, and a new campus or a new group of doctors, because they've decided they don't want to work with that particular co-op or that particular service anymore. And that's and you have all these gaps. Then they have third and fourth layer businesses and industries with these supplementals and these additive things that is to say that is exactly like, you know, a third party or an adjunct like dental plan, and so on and so forth. So you end up having to build in a really not interoperable, modular way, some semblance of coverage. And when you actually have to process the stuff and the bills, there's an incredible resistance, a lot of paperwork, which I've found out recently, just for one injury to get reimbursed or to get things at least to be credited in your favor as far as an expense, is a heck of a process. It's an entire vocation. That average people, it's not practical for them to engage in just to be well.
Average people, you say? Average people. Now, people who need this kind of thing are sick. They are handicapped in some way. They need to be cared for. They don't need this kind of stress. And, you know, luckily I'm not in that camp right now, but if I were, it would be extremely stressful, probably more so than being sick in itself. So this is something we really have to work on. We have to make it simple, not put people through these tasks of having to go through this health exchange and figure everything out and hope that whatever you pick is going to cover the place that you are and the services you need. It should not be a case where your doctor all of a sudden decides they don't want to take your insurance anymore, and that leaves you out in the cold.
Right.
They need to figure that out. They're the doctors. They're the ones with lots of money. They're the ones that are healthy. They can figure this out somehow. Don't leave it to all your patients to do that. That is wrong.
Yeah, and it's an incredible aggravation to keep up with it or to get set up in the first place, and then for them to be able to, at will, kind of switch things around and really duck their end of the bargain, which is covering you, caring for you, helping you navigate this stuff. It's irresponsible, and I think it's you're preying on people, and it's a particularly sad state that we can't get around the practical problems with how this was implemented.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Anyway, so that's that just happened. That actually happened this week. And it threw me for a loop because I never thought that was going to happen. I thought all sorts of other things might happen, but not that. So, yeah, they got a 20% increase and went out of business anyway. So what does that mean? That means we have to get a 50% increase. Every year they just keep hiking it more and more so that it's impossible for anybody to even get it in the first place. This is not the way it should be run. We need a lot more than what we've been given so far. So I don't know. We'll hopefully see some more aggressive attempts to actually catch up to the rest of the world, the rest of Western society that knows how to take care of their citizens.
Yeah, and it's worthwhile. I mean, we ought to do it because every other country is sort of surprised. I mean, when we travel and talk to people, people often remark, that's amazing, you know. And that was the attitude I got in Canada. It was like, oh, go ahead, you know, you're covered back home. We'll send you home so, you know, you can commence taking advantage of all the fruits of the American health system. And it's very hard to convey to people in practice how unreliable and upside down that is.
Well, it's a class
as something
system.
To count on.
It's a class system because certain people can take advantage of that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
If you work for a large corporation, yeah, you can do that easily because that's a part of what you're sort of living in a socialist world there because you get these benefits that you already contribute to through your salary and all that.
Right.
Or if you're part of a government bureaucracy, you already get that. The people that are denying us health care are the ones that get health care. But there's a large number of people who don't have those particular advantages. And it might be the minority, but it's still a sizable one, and it needs to be taken care of.
Definitely, definitely. Well, we'll continue to follow that. So, what's next?
What's next? We went to Maker Faire this weekend. That was a lot of fun.
Oh,
goodness. On the opposite side of the spectrum.
It's so fun. Yeah, totally. As far as, you know, healthy things, good things, positive and exciting things, that takes the cake.
Once a year, there is this event called Maker Faire. It takes place in Queens on the other side of the Grand Central Parkway from where the World's Fair is. We all pass it going into the city, those two buildings that are just that were there in the 1960s and have been deteriorating ever since. And I really wish they'd do something with them because they're cool buildings, but they're just standing there like relics to the past. And you can also see the little globe thing, which they have been maintaining, Shea Stadium, which is called Citi Field now. Basically, actually, it's a different stadium, but I'm still going to call it Shea Stadium. That is the location where it happens once a year. 100,000 people show up, a lot of kids, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of projects, a lot of science. And it basically takes a weekend. And traditionally, we go there with the 2600 van and hang out and meet lots of people, meet lots of listeners and readers. And it's just a really, really positive thing. Probably one of the most positive things that we experienced in the year. Exhausting too, because you have to be up early and you get home late. But it's just so inspiring.
Yeah, it's welcome exertion because part of the work is interacting with the public and evangelizing. I say that a lot to describe it, but it really is. You want to express yourself and talk about the virtues of your project. That's what show and tell is. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have never heard of the kinds of things that we're passionate about and want to know more.
What's one of the most frequent questions that you think people gave us walking up to the 2600 hacker van?
Well, certainly by far the number one thing I'm asked when we have the van and we're doing things there is, what does 2600 mean?
Does 2600 mean?
Or what do you guys do? What is it that this is about? Is definitely the first thing that people ask. And I get really good at describing what exactly it is and what we do. And it's really exciting because people are open to it and would like to know more and are very captivated often. And or if they're familiar with us, have a good time relating and sharing with us what excites them about what we do or what is going on in technology and in the world.
It's cool because we have kind of a little display of old phones too, rotary phones. People walk up to that. They see the rotary phones. They're fascinated by those. A lot of people say, I still have one of these in my house. You know, older people tend to say that. And you know, I do too. They're cool to have. It's cool to have cell phones as well, but it's also cool to have that technology. You can look at it. You can see how it works. You can fix it or build it yourself. And it's important to the understanding of the entire concept. But also, kids are fascinated by this as well. You have 4-year-olds walking up, and we ask them, hey, do you know how to make a phone call on this? Some of them do. A lot of them don't. It's fun to watch them try. But that marriage of the old technology and the new technology is what it's all about, really, just sharing that information.
Yeah, we've evolved. I think that came about at Dayton. We got an old phone. Somebody had an old desk phone, and we put it on our table as a display. And we've started to make that sort of a tradition with these roadshows or exhibitions at various events. And it really does draw people in as far as a talking point. It is a spectacle to just have there. I had a wall phone that was taken apart, so you could see the inside, you could see the network, you could play with the bell, all of that kind of stuff. And it really, it's great for people that are tactile, little kids especially. They've never seen a rotary dial. Or perhaps they have, and they want to see if it works, and so on. And it's a great introduction to what 2600 is, and what hacking and curiosity in general with communications machines in general is all about.
Yeah, that's the thing. The curiosity, the experimentation of various devices, that's encouraged at this kind of an event. And it's really inspiring to see it on that level. We see it at our own conferences, obviously, but this is much more of a family type thing where you see so many children just being brought into this and being encouraged to ask questions, to play with something, to build something themselves. You know, you don't see a lot of helicopter parents at these things because the kids are the ones running the show. They're the ones pulling their parents into an exhibit to see what this particular device does. There's all kinds of robots walking around and bicycles of all sorts, people on stilts, and you name it. It's just all kinds of things that just captivate your attention, and it just goes on for the entire weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say that they're encouraged to strike out on their own, even, and try new things and get their hands dirty, really exploring and pushing what kinds of learning they can really fit into a whole day or a whole weekend of exploring. And there are so many people there that get it, and exhibits that then support that kind of adventure, and they really do see it as an adventure. That's something that I heard from some kids over the weekend, just as a reaction that they were having so much fun and really taking on the whole thing as new and a special experience.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been to, I think, 5 of these things now, and they just keep getting more interesting as technology continues to develop. We saw more 3D printers, I think, than ever before. How many of them were there?
Oh, my gosh, at least 100.
I'm a little worried because if they band together, they could start building massive things and maybe take on intelligence of their own, and then we would have a problem. You know, does that cross your mind at all, that kind of concern?
Yeah, I was at one point saying the 3D printers, we may have to do something to stop them at some point if they rise up. I mean, it's really incredible. There was one there that was taller than a human, like maybe twice the size of a shorter human being, and it was printing things like furniture. It had a massive extruder and was doing this incredible large-scale printing. Really amazing. There was a whole tent from the Italians. It was like the Bureau of Tourism or the Bureau of I'm not sure what, commerce in some way that had been sponsored, and they had an immense array of printers there as well. There were workshops and individuals with their own machines. There really was a fantastic amount of rapid prototyping machines. I even saw an exhibit of people creating their own filament for the printers. So they were getting the raw materials, the beads of plastic, and putting them in a bit of a hopper and stretching it to make the actual filament that you would then load in a 3D printer.
Wow.
So really vertically, having a vertical understanding of really own the process of 3D printing back to the raw materials, which I thought was pretty incredible that people are really hacking it from every angle as far as supplies and so on.
Anyway, they have Maker Faires all throughout the world. Go to makerfaire.com, makerfaire.com, and look for one in your area. I know Rome is having one in the near future. Also heard of one in Detroit, Westport, Connecticut.
Yeah, there was an incredible amount of invitations. People were so excited, wanting to let us know about their Maker events and to come check them out and don't forget to save the date, that kind of thing. And I thought that was great.
We were invited to one in San Diego next weekend.
We're going to have to hustle to get there.
Yeah, you know what that's going to take to drive the van all the way across the country to get to San Diego by what, in 3 days? Come on, we'd have to leave right now, and we just unpacked the thing, so give us a break. And the next time, give us a little bit of advance notice. I still don't want to drive the van all the way across the country. That would be too much. We need to buy another van.
A West Coast van. Or just maybe make it driverless and have the van drive itself across the country.
Yeah. Just leave us home and have the van go represent us.
We'll just catch up. We'll bring a balloon or something. Yeah, we could have robots that just do the whole thing. But no, we'll sort it out.
Yeah. We can teleport in or something. Just have our faces show up on a screen or something. So that'll be fun.
So, do you have any stories that you'd like to move on to, E?
Do I have any stories that I'd like to move on to? Well,
yeah, like news.
Not really. I have weather. Does that count? What appears to be a weather bulletin here. Well, actually, this appears to be a weather bulletin gone wrong. The Connecticut shoreline was under a tsunami warning last week. apparently, the Weather Service's office in New York sent the warning on Thursday to its radio and emergency alert systems that resulted in the alert being mentioned on local broadcasts and Twitter posts. Not ours, though. Not ours. The warning was for all four coastal counties and parts of Long Island Sound. The Weather Service later issued a statement saying there was no real tsunami threat, and the warning was sent inadvertently during a routine monthly test by the service's National Tsunami Warning Center in Alaska? Okay. The Connecticut Broadcasters Association says the alert ran on several Connecticut stations. There, by the way, are no records indicating a tsunami has ever hit Connecticut. So if you did hear a tsunami warning for Connecticut, I hope you were alerted to, wow, this is unusual. This has never happened before. You know, maybe you should question things, not just accept them. If I had heard that, I definitely would have perked up, because that kind of thing just doesn't generally happen.
No.
Okay, so that's my contribution with the weather. And that, and of course, it's going to start raining soon, if that's of interest to anybody. We're going to get heavy rain, and then Joaquin is coming this weekend. Tropical Storm Joaquin, maybe he'll be a hurricane by then. So there's that, you know. And it's a good thing it's next weekend and not this weekend, because that would have happened in the middle of Maker Faire, and we would have gotten really wet.
Yes, indeed, wet. So, thanks for the weather, E.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, I'm happy to contribute wherever I can. Do you want to go into delay, maybe, and take some phone calls? We could do that.
I think we can possibly do that.
All right, well, let's try going into that particular mode. Our phone number is 631-632-6901. If you'd like to contribute to this conversation and maybe steer it in a different direction, you have that ability.
This is Nick Ogre of Skinny Puppy, and you're listening to Long Island's first station of the 90s, 90.1 FM, WVSB, Stony Brook.
And we should be in delay.
Did I make it into delay, too?
I think you're in delay.
I don't feel like I'm in delay, but then again, I never do.
Well, we have a call on the line. Should we take it?
We should, but I think first we need to check our levels there, because they seem awfully low.
Okay. How should I do that again?
Well, look at the meters in front of you. You see they're barely moving. I think something isn't turned up high enough.
Okay.
Perhaps the channel that you're broadcasting on. Channel, yes, that one.
Yeah, then we'll crank that. Then I think people can hear us.
Yes.
So go ahead and call. Hello, you're on WSB.
What's up, fellas? How's everybody today?
We're doing all right. Where are you calling from?
I guess this is Smithtown. I'm in the car heading to Port Jeff.
All right. Hey, you're going down Port. That's awesome.
No, I'm going to a buddy's house who's having me for dinner. I wouldn't get out of Port
Jeff. Whoa, hold on a second. You don't have to do that, you know. Cannibalism, first of all, is illegal, all right? And second of all, you have some say in this. You don't have to just... Yeah, people need to know they have power.
Well, that is very true, actually.
All right.
Since everybody's griping about things or what have you, I wanted to let you guys know that they're actually, one of my other buddies was telling me this, that they're going to raise the boat ramp fee in Suffolk County by $25. Next season.
Wait, I don't even know what a boat ramp fee is. What is that?
What's the base cost?
Okay. Well, what is it, first of all?
Yeah, what's the fee?
What's a boat ramp fee? What is that? What's it for?
Okay, that's something that you pay yearly or season. I'm going to call it, it's not a word, seasonally. For, I guess I'm going to call it like June to, let's say, October, November. Okay? It's normally... $125, I think. Yeah, $125. It's going up an additional $25.
Well, that's terrible, but I still have no idea what it is. All I know is how much it costs.
I live in the town of Brookhaven, so it's something you pay, a fee that you pay to drop your boat into the water or your jet ski or whatever you have to use the town of Brookhaven boat ramps.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay. So in order to use... Not the water, but the ramp that leads to the water, you have to pay somebody?
That's correct.
How do you do that exactly? I mean, who is there somebody standing there keeping track of all the people that put boats in water?
Precisely.
There is?
Normally, college kids and things like that, you know, they stand there and they'll, you know, check your registration and things like that. And that's exactly what they're. They're college kids and they wait right there. Generally, after it gets dark and things like that, they don't bother you. But during peak times, if you try to put your boat or your jet ski or whatever it is into the water, you know, and they're there, you'll get a ticket.
Okay, so wait a minute. So I guess if you go at 4 a.m, there's not going to be somebody standing on a ramp asking to see your papers. But I'm just wondering, what service are they supplying you? They didn't create the water. That's already there. Is it because they decided one day to build a ramp and you want to use the ramp? And now they're making a ton of money by charging somebody every time they want to use the ramp?
No, it's not every time. It's just for the season. But basically, that's pretty much what it is. You know, they, if you can stand this, it pays for the upkeep of the cement boat ramp.
Wow. What if you just don't use the ramp? What if you go a foot over to the left?
That's a really good question. Really? I don't know.
I'm not a boater, obviously. I don't think I'd last long, but I can envision paying for a ramp.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you pay for it because in Nassau, it's actually per day. If you're an out-of-town resident, it's actually per day. Like the other day, we went to Massapequa,
uh-huh.
And since we're from town, we're town of Brookhaven trash, you know, we had to go to the... boat ramp in Massapequa because the water on the South Shore is different water. You know, it's different. You go fishing and things. And you have to pay, it's $25 per day, just for the day.
What if you just stay in the water?
That's a good question, too.
You get barnacles.
Or you could launch from a different state and then just sort of make your way over to where you want to be.
Well, I'm sure people would do that, too, actually. I know people...
Hold on. I got all kinds of ideas now. What if you had, like, some kind of airlift, right? And you simply lowered your boat into the water from the air. How are they going to charge you for that?
I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
If somebody could invent something like that, I would be a backup.
No, the helicopters exist. They're out there. I see them all the time.
Well... Yeah, that's true, but to pick up a 60,000-pound boat or a 40,000-pound boat, whatever they weigh.
Well, you need a rope, obviously, or something, maybe two ropes. But I don't know. That's, you know, I did the hard part. You guys can figure out the particulars.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. I wish they would do that. And it's funny. In certain parts of the island, you don't really see what you get. You know, like the boat, the actual piers that you walk out on dock, whatever you want to call it. Some of them are pretty appalling condition, but yet you still have to pay your money.
Yeah, but, you know, I can walk out onto a dock. I can walk out onto a ramp. I can enjoy the ramp and the dock and make use of it with my feet, and no one charges me anything. You're getting charged only because you decide to have a boat go down it. It doesn't seem fair.
Precisely. Or if you have your own slip, which that's $1 trillion a year, and a waiting list of 10 to 15 years long, I wish I had a slip. I wouldn't have to worry about it. But then you're going to pay out the, you know, out the bottom end for that one.
Wow. Well, you've given me a lot to think about, and I thank you for that. Now, in order to help you out, I advise you to avoid being eaten tonight by your friend and do something else, maybe in the water.
I'll do that.
All right.
For the show, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right. Bye.
What was that tone? That was a weird tone.
Indeed it was. I think I hit transfers instead of the extension. So 631-632-6901. This is Off the Wall. We're taking calls. 631-632-6901. 26901 if you're on campus.
Yes. Or dial a 1 before the 631 if you're somewhere outside the area code. Or dial a 9 before that if you're inside at some kind of switchboard.
Finn's coming in just a couple minutes for Finn's Revolution.
Yes.
Fantastic show. I'm sure he's got all kinds of exciting music and probably some great stories, interviews, maybe some trivia. You never know.
Do you know Finn has a revolution every time he does a show? Because he comes in here with one mindset, and by the time he leaves, he believes completely different things than when he came in. He told me that.
Yeah, sometimes he comes full circle back to what he believed before he came in.
That does happen if the guy at 9 o'clock doesn't show up, yes. But we're still here now for another 5 minutes, so give us a call, 631-632-6901, if you have thoughts on boat ramp fees. That's what we were just talking about. I've never talked about that before in my life, as you can probably tell. It's like charging somebody to use the stairs or a curbstone or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
631-632-6901, 26901. If you're a student on campus, please give us a call. This is your radio station, WUSB Stony Brook. Fantastic community radio, lots of great music, and interesting shows like this. And we're letting you give us a call now so that you can use your airwaves and chat with us. So
yes.
631-632-6901.
We met a number
Hello.
Of listeners at the conference today.
You're on WUSB. Yes.
I never saw them charging Baldwin. There's a boat ramp in Baldwin, New York on Atlantic Avenue across from the beer distributor. So you could kill two birds with one stone there. And I never saw them charge anybody to launch a boat over there. I never saw anybody charge on any boat ramp. I guess it's something new to collect some money.
I think so, too. I never saw it either. Although, to be honest, I have not been watching boat ramps around the clock. So they could be getting away with it, and I'm not aware that it's happening. But this has opened up my eyes to something that really needs to be watched.
I think it's proximity, too. I think it's partly, you know, if it's a tight corridor, only a couple streets in and out of the epicenter, whatever you call city center.
Is that the right word? Epicenter?
Not epicenter.
It's an earthquake.
The main quarters, whatever, the access routes. Uh-huh. If it is a congestion problem, I know in certain places, if the ferry's there, there's obviously going to be some other traffic concerns. So I can see it in certain places. But
you know, the Port Jefferson ferry does not have to pay that fee because it almost never gets launched down a loading dock or a loading ramp.
Hey, sir, where are you calling from?
Yeah, well, I'm not far from that area. I pass there a lot, so I see it. I stop at the beer distributor across the street from time to time. My chiropractor doesn't live far from there, so that's why I know the area. As far as I can see, now that I mentioned it, I'm sure somebody will be charging within the next week. Maybe I shouldn't have said it at all.
Not if we have anything to say about it, sir. We are going to go down there, and we're going to maintain a vigil.
All right. Hey, thanks for your call.
I'm fired up now.
Always good to talk to your beer distributor. Definitely. Hey, this is Off the Wall. Caller, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, where are you calling from tonight?
From West Fable.
Oh, hey, great. And what's on your mind? You have a comment about this boat launch fee?
Yeah, they try to get you all the time, but I...
Wow, you know, we finally found the issue that people care about.
Well, no, this is good stuff. Fishing, recreating, all that kind of stuff is affected, and it's access to public waterways, right?
Yeah, you can't even get down to the bay. Sometimes they got to go out there. Me and my daughter are riding a bicycle just down to the pier, and they're asking me for my, town card. I'm like, get the hell out of here. Yeah, I came from a different town on my bicycle to just ride down it.
Uh-huh.
Definitely, you should be able to ride freely.
They own the water now. Everyone owns everything.
Yeah, they want to stake their claim, huh?
I got a slip. I pay, $65 a foot. You keep it in the water all season, and I only use it, twice a year, once in and once out. I'm not paying.
Yeah, if you keep your water if you keep your boat in the water, then you don't have to pay to launch it.
Oh, you do.
How? How do they charge you for that?
Get the boat in and out of the water.
Yeah, but it's in. You keep it in, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, but you can't keep it in the winter if it freezes up.
I suppose.
No, that's true. No, that's a good point.
Didn't think of that. Yeah.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate your call this evening. We're going to move on to another caller.
Yes, sir.
We're getting more calls than we've ever gotten before.
Appreciate it.
We're talking about boat ramps.
We are. We're talking about all kinds of stuff. If you want to talk politics or any of the other issues we brought up in the past, feel free.
Wasn't the Pope nice?
631-632-6901. He was.
He was a very nice Pope. He came to New York. He came to D.C. came to Philadelphia. Was full of good cheer.
It was an interesting perspective to hear from and to see. And he really did have an impact. It was special. I got that out of it. If you'd like to share with us, please call 631-632-6901 26901 if you're on campus. This is Off the Wall with Kyle and Emmanuel.
We actually only have 2 minutes left.
We have 2 minutes left. We'll give you just another second to comment and use this fantastic resource and have access to the waves in the air.
Uh-huh.
You can launch your thoughts from our ramp.
With no fees attached.
Anytime. Well, at this time especially, but that's what we're here for, so I hope you pick up on that metaphor.
I'm heading straight to the boat ramp after the show. I don't know about you, but I want to learn more about this. I had no idea this was going on.
I know of some secret ones. There's ones in little offshoots of parks or next to roads. There's tricky places. There's places you can go that are less populated, I think, that you can quickly just drop your boat in and it's nobody's the wiser.
If you get six men together, you can go running towards the boat ramp with a boat over your head and hurl it over the head of the person trying to charge you to use the boat ramp, and then it'll land in the water, at which point the people who are waiting for it can get in it.
Hello, you're on Off the Wall.
Good afternoon. I'm enjoying your program.
Thank you.
Oh, hey, great. Where are you calling from this evening?
I'm in Riverhead.
Oh, great. So what did you want to comment on? Are you thinking about this boat launch issue that we just touched on?
That's amazing what else can be charged. But I have some really significant message. You might know or you maybe not know, but I enjoy always your program.
Sure. Share with us, please.
This year I went to the beach and I want to obtain the beach permit in West Hampton. And they said $325 for year-round. I said, wow, how many young people were going to afford $325? Meantime, the 4,000 people or over 4,000 people drowning every year in America because no skill of swimming. How are they going to swim? How are they going to enjoy water for $325 a year?
Yeah, especially if they're drowning.
So specifically speaking, what you're describing is one of these membership fees to have access to like your neighborhood beach. Is that what you're describing?
No, Ocean Beach. Ocean Beach. I have a permit.
Sure.
The parks, which one of the beaches is park, but
uh-huh.
I was amazed or very, very much surprised. $325 just go to the ocean water. I don't pollute. I don't throw any garbage. I don't drink. I don't eat. I just go, swim, exercise, go home.
That's incredible to me that they would charge somebody just to use a beach, not to park, not to do something that involved facilities, just to actually walk onto the beach. That's what they're charging?
Yep.
That's insane. That to me seems wrong.
Yep. That's all my comment, and thank you very kindly for taking it.
Okay, great. Hey, and I don't know if I asked you, where are you calling from?
Riverhead.
Oh, yes, Riverhead. Yeah, I did ask you. Hey, great. That's fantastic. Thanks so much for listening and for calling in tonight.
I always enjoy the program when you are having some really nice conversation about traveling in the West and tickets giving in Germany.
yeah, Frankfurt. That's the only place I've been stopped. Yes.
That's great to hear that. Great to hear that.
Thank you for the acknowledgement. We would love to take this other call. I am afraid we're going to have to go. Thanks, everyone, for participating. I'm going to get out of delay now.
Well, you know, Kyle, I got to say, that was the smoothest transition both into and out of delay I've experienced in a long time.
Thank you, E. That means a lot to me that you noticed and that you said that. I'm afraid we're going to have to go, though. This CD player wants to break on me, but I know better.
Finn wants to break your arms because we have a four-minute outro and we only start. Yes.
I can't hear you. You're not over the air.
We're not on the air, Finn says. We're on the air there. See, that's what he'll do. He'll come in and he'll tell us we're not on the air when we are on the air.
Okay.
I see us moving.
Well, I like to think that we would be on the air, but
is everything going haywire at the same time?
Well, this happened the other week, so I'm not going to get too concerned about it. I'm doing everything in my power.
Okay,
but it seems the opposite CD player is now upset at me.
There we go.
But I fixed it.
Let's quit while we're somewhat behind.
We're way behind. But you all stay ahead. Good night.
Good night.
In the evening, every bastard there was pesky.
Pretty well gone away, there's nothing left to say.
Farewell to New York City, boys, the Boston NPA. He took them out with a well-hung clout, and I often heard him say,
I'm a free-born man of the USA.
He fought the champ in Pittsburgh, and he slushed him to the ground. He took on Tiny Tartanella, and it only went one round. He never had no time for rights, for drink or dice or whore. But he never threw a fight when a fight was right, so they sent him to the war.
Very well gone away, there's nothing left to say.
With Snatcher Joe and an Aaron Gomer, loves in America. The calling of the rosary, Spanish wine from far away.
I'm a free-born man of the USA.
Yeah! Goodbye. I remembered how I swore that I'd come back to you one day. And as the sunset came to meet the evening on a hill, I told you I'd always love you, I always did, I always will.
Very well gone away, there's nothing left to say.
But say adieu to your eyes as blue as the woods are in the bay. To Big Jim Dwight, a man of war who was often heard to say,
I'm a free-born man of the USA. I'm a free-born man of the USA. I'm a free-born man of the USA.
Hey kids, this is Finn's Revolution until the 9 p.m. hour right here on WUSB in Stony Brook. We're going to be talking to Tom Yellen, film producer, in a little bit about his brand new film, Cartel Land, which is showing at the Port Jeff Documentary Film Festival, plus a whole bunch of weird music, and of course it's Jerry Lee Lewis's birthday. Stay tuned. Yeah, yeah, it's the birthday of the killer right here on WUSB Stony Brook.
The news is out all over town that you've been seen out. I just can't go. You went again. This heart of mine could never see whatever.
Thank you. sugar, but I love my honey too. Oh, I'm a greedy mother, you don't know what to do. I've got a cross-eyed
Yeah, a brand new song from Keith Richards right here on WUSB Stony Brook, a beautiful new record, Cross-Eyed Heart, and that's the title track right there. A really great record, pretty cool. It still doesn't quite match up for me like Talk Is Cheap, which I really, really loved, his first solo record, but yeah, it's a cool, cool record, and he's done a brilliant job, better than certainly any Stones records of recent vintage. And just a couple of minutes, Tom Yellen's going to be on the air with us talking about the new film Cartel Land, which he produced, which is showing this next Monday night over at the Port Jeff Documentary Film Festival at Theater 3, I do believe. And we're going to be talking about it in just when Lefty Frizzell is done right here at WUSB Stony Brook. Stay tuned.
Treated me good, but I've been here longer than I should. I enjoyed the money, but I miss my honey so. One thing's on my mind, it's watermelon time in Georgia. Well, it makes a country boy get down in the mouth when his body's up north, but his heart's down south. I said I'd be back, I'd better make some tracks today. Lottie, I gotta go, it's watermelon time in Georgia. Sun kids are fishing, having fun. My old coon dogs are warm to run, and I can't reach my little Georgia peach too soon. One thing's on my mind, it's watermelon time in Georgia. So long, Detroit, so long, friends. If you ever down in Macon, won't you please stop in and meet the little girl that's always been my whole world. Well, I'm leaving today, it's watermelon.